You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Steve and I, Marcus. Steve, thanks for joining us
today. You're welcome.
Steve, I saw an article online, actually a bunch of articles online. After delay and amid pressure, Trump denounces racism and anti-Semitism. Trump has a long history of anti-Semitism, evidence of rising anti-Semitism, but data mostly elusive. Anne Frank Center slams Trump. Do not make us Jews settle for crumbs of condescension. You got the ADL. Trump too late denouncing anti-Semitic acts. The ADL always comes out and says they didn't apologize enough. I want to get into this story in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little background about who you are, run through where you were born, what you've done, and of course, you are Jewish and you're a Zionist Jew, and let the listeners know also about your relationship with Donald Trump.
I'm 74 years old. Unfortunately, I suffered a massive stroke, so I'm basically incapacitated in many respects. I worked for many, many years in the construction and development business. I owned my own company at one time. I personally am saddened that so many stupid Jews are loyal Democrats that my own sister, you can't argue, my father, when they fired MacArthur, my father became a conservative person. He abandoned the Democratic Party, and he always felt that they were going the wrong way, and I think they've gone over the road. They're gone. Today, these liberals, guys like the Soros, who's spending all this money hiring these people, when you see it on television and you see these people at marches against Trump, it's all paid. And the joke is, and it's not even a joke, Trump's daughter converted to Judaism. His son-in-law is a Jew. His three grandchildren are being raised as Jews. And to call him an anti-Semitic is asinine. He's anything but that. And you can see, as you know, he's developed a strong relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu, I can't pronounce his name too good, from Israel. And to call a guy an anti-Semitic, they call him everything. It's so bad. These liberals can't accept the fact that Hillary lost. God, I don't know what this country would be like if she had won. I tell you the truth. I think she would have wound up being worse than Obama, who was an abortion. That's my feelings. I may be a weird Jew because I'm a conservative, but I believe in America. This is my country, and my religion and everything else is secondary and third. I'm an American, and I believe in Donald Trump, that he will, if they give him a chance. I've been told by the mayor in my town, I'm in a totally Republican town, thank God, not the only one in Passaic County in New Jersey. And he told me off the record that there have been two attempts on his life, but they don't advertise it because they don't want to give any of these other nuts a chance. The man wants to help the country. He don't need this. He's got more money than God. What the hell did he need it for? But at his age, he wants to do something. They won't give him a shot. And it's disgusting.
That's
I'm a loyal
Steve.
Trump supporter and have been since the day he decided to run.
Steve, let the listeners know your interactions with Trump, when they occurred and what happened exactly.
Well, in 1977, I was with a company, a large development construction company in New York City, and Trump was doing the old, I can't remember the name of the hotel, you know, from the stroke, I don't remember things. He was doing that hotel. He was converting the hotel, actually, into condominiums on 42nd Street. That was one of his first jobs on his own, I think. And I had a corner office. I was executive vice president of the subsidiary. We did rehab construction. And I walked into my office on a Friday morning, and Trump was in my office. I'll tell you the truth. He was a skinny kid with dirty blonde hair in those days. And he had his feet across my desk, and he's on a phone. I said to him, excuse me, it's my office. Can I have my phone back? Hang it up. He says, wait, I'll just be a couple of minutes. I said, no, you're getting off my office now. And I used a couple of explicit words. And I said, if you don't get off, I'm going to throw you through the window. I had a bad temper. And he got up and he left. And of course, 5 minutes later, the chairman of the board of the parent company called me up. What the hell are you doing? This is one of our customers. I said, you know what? Let him go in your office and put his feet up on your desk. I don't want him on my desk. Then about 8.5 years later on a job, I remember I was doing some, not investigation, but I was brought in to analyze certain areas of the construction. And I ran into Donald And he was very nice. And of course, when I mentioned to him about what happened 8.5 years ago, he didn't remember it. Now, whether he really didn't remember it or not, but that's what he said. I wasn't that important anyway. But I can tell you this, guys who went to work for me in a company called Titan, when they left, they went to work for him. He paid them fantastic salaries, gave them cars. And everybody I spoke to who's worked for him that I know of said to me he's the best boss they ever had. So I think the guy is right. I know sometimes he talks from the hip, but who cares? That's why we elected him. He says what he believes. Anyway, that's my story.
For explaining that, Steve. And after you had run into him the second time, was he on his way to accumulating wealth?
Yeah. But then, of course, he had a short time. He got involved in Atlantic City, and a couple of the deals started to go sour, and supposedly he was $1 billion in a hole. And that was in the early 90s, I believe. But he came back, and he built an organization second to none. And contrary to what they say, he loves women executives that work for him. He said they're tougher than the men, and he pays them top dollar. And the liberal press absolutely lies about him and distorts us. It's disgusting. It really is. I don't read a newspaper anymore. The only thing I watch the Fox News Channel, because that's the only one where I feel I get to know what's going on that's real. The rest of this state, it's all made up with all these liberal people. The newspapers, forget it.
I think that most of the listeners would agree with you, and it's pretty obvious that what's called the mainstream media or the elite media or the corporate-controlled media or the fake news media now is really on the defensive. They've developed a siege mentality, and they're desperately trying to regain the trust of their former viewers and listeners because nobody believes a damn thing they're saying anymore. Let's get into these attacks on Trump. Not only are you Jewish, but you're a Zionist Jew. In fact, we've known each other for several years. And I remember when you first found out that I was affiliated with American Free Press and you saw some of the stuff. This was, of course, prior to your stroke. And hopefully you'll be able to get back everything that you lost and more. I'm praying for you. But you saw some of the things that American Free Press wrote about. And at first, it turned you off. You thought that the paper was like a neo-Nazi type paper, that I was a Nazi, that I was goose-stepping, and you said these things to me, and then I remember I said to you, hey, Steve, can we still be friends? And you kind of had a change of heart. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Well, first of all, I never thought you were a Nazi. You are an ultra-right-wing, right-wing thinker. You are much more right than I am, I think. But obviously, if I was so distressed, I never would have talked to you again, so it never happened. I respect your right to say, who was it, Voltaire said, I disagree with everything you say, but I will fight to my death your right to say it. But the truth is, as we've got to know each other better and talk, I see that the differences between you and I aren't that far away. You may be a little more extreme than me, but we both have a common hate of these ultra-liberals who are trying to destroy this country and make it into almost like a communist-run country. I couldn't believe that Trump won because I was so afraid that if she got in, this country was over with. Look, they're going to fight him on everything. They're going to fight him on a wall. They're going to fight him everything he wants to do. And my only worry is that the Republicans in Congress have the backbone to back him. You listen to some of these people, and I begin to wonder. They got to realize the fate of this country lies in what this guy can do. If they don't back him, we're not even going to be a country anymore. I strongly believe we need a wall. We need more than a wall. But the wall is a good beginning. Keep these people out and get rid of all these rapists and criminals who are being hidden. And I want to see them pull them federal money from every one of these states that won't abide the federal law.
Just in the news here, the city of Denver in Colorado defending the release of an illegal immigrant later charged in murder. The liberals are destroying the country. They have been destroying the country for a long time. They're continuing to destroy the country. And I agree with you that Trump is the only hope. Let's get to these stories here because organizations like the ADL and these other special interest groups, the way that it works with them is, and anybody can see that, is when somebody says something that they consider to be against Jews, they'll come out and force an apology. when the individual apologizes, their follow-up is always the same. They say, that wasn't enough. You need to apologize more. They did the same thing to Trump. Now, you've experienced anti-Semitism, haven't you?
Of course.
Please tell the listeners how you have experienced it. What forms of anti-Semitism have you experienced?
As a kid, growing up, I found it in the workplace. My first major job in construction, I was working for a company. They were basically Catholic. I was the only Jew working there, and they treated me, except for the owner. The owner didn't care because I produced, but the people I worked with were not crazy about Jews. And I wound up making it bad for them because I worked twice as hard. And the boss kept saying, well, why is Marcus doing all this work and you people aren't following him? So I fought anti-Semitism. I've heard it. You know what? It is what it is. I don't care. Nobody's ever come after me to kill me, thank God, or anything else. You can't make the whole world love you. And unfortunately, and I'll be very blunt, a lot of Jews go off the deep end. I mean, this idiot, what the hell's his name? The senator from New York.
Schumer.
This guy's a piece of shit. Pardon my English. He's a Jew. They're sick people, these ultra-liberals. You know, my father used to say, the definition of a conservative is a liberal whose daughter gets raped. They're all great to tell me and you how to live, except that they don't follow the same. Look, nobody can love everybody. If people hate the Irish, people hate the Italians, they hate the Germans, they hate this. There's always going to be people hating different people for different reasons. It don't bother
me. That's true, Steve. And if somebody doesn't like Jews, they should be allowed to not like Jews, right?
Of course.
The anti-Semitism you experienced years ago, it's a lot different now. Have you experienced any anti-Semitism recently? When was the last time you experienced anti-Semitism? And do you agree with these Jewish groups that there has been a marked increase in anti-Semitism and they're coming down on Trump for not saying anything about
it? Okay. I can't remember the last time I experienced anti-Semitism, number one. Number two, these groups, I call them self-propelling their own agenda. They're all ridiculous. You know, if they shut up and just forget about it. Everybody don't have to love me because I'm a Jew. People don't have to love a person because he's an Italian. Everybody has their different thoughts. But if you start running around carrying signs, all you're going to do is going to make people hate you more. So I don't put any weight on any of this stuff. People want to be anti-Semitic, they can be anti-Semitic.
That's the way I feel, that if somebody wants to dislike whatever group they want to dislike, that's their choice.
Absolutely.
This is America. Right, but the organized Jewish groups here in this country will not allow that to happen. They want everybody to love Jews, and if anybody shows the slightest disagreement with
you that, don't believe
then
that,
they bring
you?
Out their big guns. What's that?
You don't believe that. You know what they want? They're self-propelling. They're making money. They're raising money. They're more interested in themselves than the fact that they're supposedly protecting Jews.
And they would say to you that you are an anti-Semitic, self-hating Jew for saying that because you're feeding into the Jewish stereotypes that they're greedy.
You know what? Too bad. You know what? Religion to me is outdated. I'm sorry to say that. I don't need religion anymore. I never did. First of all, you know I'm married to a non-Jewish woman. I've been married to her 33 years. I joke that I have to sleep with one eye open because she's German. That's a joke.
A German Shiksa. You are a true Renaissance man. You're a great Jewish American.
I'm not a Jewish American. I'm an American. I was born a Jew and I'll die a Jew, but I don't follow.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners and giving them your great insight into all of these issues we discussed. And as always, I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you very much. You stay healthy and have a good day and a good week.